Radio Daily for Finally Frackin' Friday.
Yeah!
So much awesome because there's 1 week to go before the Christmas break. I know we just took a Thanksgiving break, but it's the end of the year.
Yeah.
Come on. And we got plans. We'll talk about it later. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy kinds of places. The folks that are bringing it to you today, yes, we're mixing it up a little bit. That is the Flinstress.
The so-called normal guys who always let you down. Sickos never scare me. At least they're committed.
Sickos are committed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we've worked as long as we have. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Sex with furniture. What do you think?
I think that's not that kind of sicko that I am. No, it's not. Hi there. What happened this fine day, yo?
Well, in 1903, the Boston based National Bell Telephone Company is dissolved by court decree.
Yeah, nowadays monopolies are fine. 1929, the first commercial ship-to-shore mobile telephone service is launched.
In 1931, Lloyd Espenschied and Herman A. Affle received the first U.S. patent for coaxial cable.
1943, Colossus, the first programmable electric computer, is delivered to Bletchley Park, Britain's secret cryptoanalysis headquarters during World War II.
In 1947, J. Presper Eckert and John Mauchly incorporate the Eckert-Mauchly Computer Corporation to design and build computers for commercial and military applications.
1948, RCA demonstrates split-screen television for the first time, displaying two images side by side on a kinescope tube at a Television Broadcasters Association meeting.
That is pretty impressive for 1948.
Yeah, really, right?
In 1953, U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower gives what will come to be known as the Adams for Peace speech before the General Assembly of the United Nations.
1954, Republic Pictures releases the science fiction film The Atomic Kid, starring Mickey Rooney and Robert Strauss, a uranium prospector eating a peanut butter sandwich in the desert. Atomic bomb goes off, and he becomes radioactive because he lived through it. And then he breaks up a spy ring for the FBI.
Up an atom?
Up an atom!
In 1966, the U.S. and the USSR sign a treaty to prohibit nuclear weapons in outer space.
Why did you bring a gun into space? 1975, in Mountain View, California, Paul J. Terrell opens the Byte Shop, the first retail computer store chain in the United States.
In 82, Atari sues Coleco Industries for $350 million, alleging that Coleco's expansion module number one, which allowed Atari 2600 cartridges to be played on the ColecoVision, infringed on their patent. But Coleco countersued for $500 million, claiming Atari had violated antitrust laws.
Damn.
1991,
Martin Pollard, author of the Telegard bulletin board system, announces that development of the software will be discontinued. He cites multiple reasons, including a mistreatment by the community and an inability to shake the image of being a pirate. BBS. Arg.
In 93, the U.S. Secretary of Defense announces that the Global Positioning System, GPS, has reached initial operational capability and will be made available for civilian use at Standard Positioning Service.
2000, New Line releases the fantasy film Dungeons & Dragons, which we all wanted to be really good. It starred Justin Whalen, Zoe McClellan, Thora Birch, Jeremy Irons. Look quickly, you'll see Richard O'Brien, and of course, the thing that makes everything better, Marlon Wayans.
In 2004, New Line releases the action film Blade Trinity. Wesley Snipes, of course, Chris Christopherson, Ryan Reynolds, Jessica Biel, and Dominic Purcell.
If only it was a good movie. 2005, Imagine Publishing relaunches Retro Gamer Magazine. Its original publisher, Live Publishing, declared bankrupt. See, back on September 27th of that year.
Oh, sure. In 2007, Grupo Carso, the Mexican conglomerate that acquired the CompUSA retail chain in 2000, announces that the remaining 103 locations will either be liquidated or sold. Womp womp.
Birthdays?
We get Anna Sophia Robb is 24 from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Bridge to Terabithia, Race to Witch Mountain, and Carrie Diaries.
Ian Somerhalder is 39. That was Boone on Lost. Vampire Diaries, catch VD, kids.
Tyler Mayne is 51, that's Sabretooth from X-Men.
David Harewood is 51 from Homeland, Frankenstein's Wedding, and currently John Jones on Supergirl.
Okay. Terry Hatcher is 53, also sometimes on Supergirl. Tango and Cash, Lois and Clark, Planes, and Desperate Housewives.
Rick Baker is 67, a special effects genius. Any of the fantastic, wonderful things you've seen, he did, except for, you know, the thing that was Rob Bottin.
Mary Woronov is 74, from Death Race 2000, Rock and Roll High School, Eating Raoul, and Night of the Comet, plus Looney Tunes, back in action.
No longer with us, born this date in 1861, George Melies, the father of special effects, who made a trip to the moon, the impossible voyage. Go back and watch that stuff. It's astounding what he did with no computers even being a thought process.
Wow. Born in 1894, E.C. Seeger, American cartoonist, created Popeye.
1911, Lee J.
The worst ever.
Very much. Lee J. Cobb from 12 Angry Men on the Waterfront and Detective Kinderman in The Exorcist.
Born in 1925, Sammy Davis Jr. from Ocean's 11, Cannonball Run, and the 85 Alice in Wonderland.
1930, Maximilian Schell from Vampires and Deep Impact.
And the man, the myth, the legend, born in 1953, Sam Kinison, stand-up legend, who's also in Back to School.
Taught me so many things about the world.
Well, on CBS, we get a new MacGyver, Hawaii Five-O, and Blue Bloods.
On ABC, it's a new Once Upon a Time, because that's still on. Then Daisy decides to rescue Simmons on S.H.I.E.L.D. And then 2020.
Oh, okay. On NBC, we get a new Blind Spot and Dateline.
On Fox, it's Hell's Kitchen. And then the exorcism reaches a critical point on The Exorcist.
Okay. On the CW, we get new Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Jane the Virgin.
Freeform, continuing to just mess with us, is showing Toy Story 3. In 3D, no, all of them were 3D, kind of.
AMC shows Young Guns 1 and 2.
Taking that Mexican Blackbird. A&E has a live PID.
I think it's PD.
Sure.
On Disney, the family travels to Florida on the premiere of Stuck in the Middle.
FX will be showing The Croods, which apparently did well enough that it's getting a series or a sequel. I don't remember.
I don't know. On FXX, we get a Simpsons marathon, a Millhouse Divided, Lisa's date with Density, and Hurricane Nettie.
FXM will be showing The Maze Runner.
On IFC, we get X-Men 2.
God, that was a good movie. You know what's not a good movie? BBC
X-Men
America.
X-Men 2 was not a good movie.
X-Men 2 is an amazing movie. What are you talking about? It's the one with, it's the one with Nightcrawler. It's not X3. You're thinking of The Last Stand.
I guess so.
Oh, my God. We got to, I know what we're doing next. Well, going to work, but then after that, BBC America showing Van Helsing.
On a sci-fi, Warren's Dream leads the group back to Mercy Labs on a new Z Nation.
Turner Classic Movie, you got your 1951 Christmas Carol, your 1935 Scrooge.
On TBS, you've got reruns of The Big Bang Theory, and then E-League, the E-League Cup, Rocket League's round 1 and 2.
Sure. Science Channel, Lake of the Dead on Strange Evidence.
On TNT, you get Star Wars, The Phantom Menace.
If you wanted. But we're watching the Hallmark Channel because Jessica is thrilled to be taking over running of the New England town's Christmas parade. But when the man playing Saint Nick falls ill, she needs to scramble to find a replacement, even if the replacement is unwilling. Eric Winter and Jodie Sweetin star in Finding Santa.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Today, Sammy's like, yo, Lucas, sober your ass up and spend some time with your son. You know I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. Eric appeals to Will to give his mother a chance. Just because she don't make cookies the way your mom does don't mean they're not good cookies. Brady asked Paul to dig up the dirt on Eve. Which really is only going to take a baby spoon. Maggie fights back when Eve asserts her authority in the Kyriakis household. Look, all y'all, this is the way cookies are made. Hashtag Chabby forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Indeed not, because there's so much crazy stuff to do, and I keep hearing there's sales that people are camped out for.
Sure.
Take a device with you. You can send a note from there, and when you do, you could drop that note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We work kind of anywhere. You can listen to us while
anytime,
you're waiting in those long
anywhere.
Lines. It's just there. It's simply what we do.
Calling all Dungeons & Dragons fans. If you like actual play podcasts, then I urge you to check out a new one. It's called You Meet in a Tavern, starring a halfling monk with a Napoleon complex, an honorable human paladin with an arsenal of horrible impressions, and an animal-loving half-elf druid whose bonds are covalent and mortgage-backed. We are 420-somethings with dull jobs by day, letting our inner nerd kid shine through our first ever D&D 5th edition campaign together. Come listen to our quest on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at YMIA Tavern. That's You Meet in a Tavern, because every good story starts in a bar.
Hi, I'm James Kahn, semi-renowned writer, musician, doctor, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, and welcome back to it. You know what it is, it's the start of the weekend proper. So we got to get ourselves where we need to be.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Indeed they do, and sometimes those films get made. What's going to be at the Cineplex this weekend?
There's only one major wide release. It's The Shape of Water. And this looks kind of interesting, a little bit creepy. Octavia Spencer, Sally Hawkins, Michael Stuhlbarg, an otherworldly fairy tale set against the backdrop of Cold War era America circa 1963. In the hidden high-security government lab where she works, lonely Eliza is trapped in a life of silence and isolation. She's mute. Her life has changed forever when she and coworker Zelda discover a secret classified experiment.
Yeah, this was just limited release last week. It is a Billy the Bull project, and if you really thought that Creature from the Black Lagoon should be a love story, you need to see this movie. Limited release, Bullethead, with Adrian Brody, John Malkovich, and Antonio Banderas. After pulling off the heist of a lifetime, three career criminals find themselves trapped in a warehouse with the law closing in. But inside the warehouse, a more dangerous threat awaits as the fugitives are plunged into a furious battle for their lives! Against what I have no idea at all.
Just Getting Started is also in limited release. It's Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, and Rene Russo. This is the one, yeah, where they're in a retirement community. You know, I guess old people like to go to the movies.
Sure.
Morgan Freeman is Duke Diver, the freewheeling manager of the luxury Palm Springs resort, the Villa Capri. And Diver has a mysterious past, but he's a pro at making sure that life is one big nonstop party for the residents of the community. The status quo is challenged when ex-military charmer Leo checks in, triggering a competition between Duke and Leo for the top spot of alpha male, as well as for the affections of the newly arrived Susie. When Duke's past suddenly catches up, the rivals put aside their differences and the two men reluctantly team up to stop who was ever trying to kill Duke and save the Villa Capri.
I, Tonya gets a bigger limited release. That's Margot Robbie, Allison Janney, Sebastian Stan. Based on the unbelievable but true events, it's the tale of Tonya Harding, the first American woman to compete a triple axel in competition, but will forever be remembered for the whole Nancy Kerrigan thing and for some strange reason, marrying a man with the last name Galooly. Galooly.
I think it actually looks like an interesting story. There's definitely some controversy.
Sure.
People are saying, you know, casting Tonya Harding as this victim and not a, you know, villain. So it'll be interesting to see.
It'll be very interesting to see if they recreate the other video that she made, A Night with Tonya. Did I mention Margot Robbie's in the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
If those films don't enrapture you, check out Sven Gulli because he's got the Lon Chaney Jr. picture featuring a creature who's hands creep like cobras and eyes crawl with madness. Peter Coe, Virginia Christine, and Lon Chaney Jr. in The Mummy's Curse.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Well, we were talking about reboots and how they have to bring something different to not make us immediately groan. And when you hear War Games is getting a boot, eye rolling is the immediate response. But War Games is going to launch early 2018 as, wait for it, an interactive series created by Sam Barlow, who was behind the acclaimed 2015 video game Her Story, and says it is really only conceptually based on the original film. It's more like Mr. Robot. Okay. The interactive series follows a group of young hackers who get involved in a web of modern espionage and government conspiracy. Viewers direct the story of the lead character, a female hacker protagonist named Kelly. Not sure how that works. Eco hasn't revealed distribution plans for hashtag War Games, because of course it is. Or if they're going to push it further, which they should do, and make it an alternate reality game. Just think about how cool it would be if your phone rang and you picked it up and heard, of course, considering how that movie ended, having to grow up to be Matthew Broderick, maybe I should rethink this.
Wouldn't you prefer a good game of chess?
Of course, the only way to win is not to reboot at all.
Well, another possibility has been realized. This is cool. Sorry. Jordan Peele's redo of The Twilight Zone has been picked up, which means CBS All Access will have something other than Star Trek Discovery as their big ticket item. Peele is executive producing, along with Simon Kinberg from X-Men Dark Phoenix and Marco Ramirez, The Defenders. No word on superheroes being involved. But too many times it's felt like we're actually living in the Twilight Zone. I can't think of a better moment to reintroduce it to modern audiences, said Peele. We know we can do this. Remember that really creepy LMFAO never-ending party skit?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, so The Twilight Zone has been remade several times. 83 movie, 80s series, the forgotten 2001 version. There was like a 2012 version. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, there were, yeah.
Will this be more than just remakes of the original series? Could it actually be a new and thought-provoking series? I think so, maybe. Will M. Night Shyamalan be downloading the scripts and using Highlighter to learn how to make a paraproskidioin? What a twist!
Universal Cable Productions is developing a TV series based on Kurt Vonnegut's 1969 novel, Slaughterhouse-Five, and already my brain has just ejected itself from its head. No network or streaming service has been set yet, which means they're just hoping. The disjointed, non-linear storyline of the book follows Billy Pilgrim, a chaplain's assistant in the U.S. Army, who survives the firebombing of Dresden. He becomes unstuck in time, and the story just keeps jumping from one point in his life to another. Happy, which you should be watching, and Marco Polo showrunner Patrick McManus will pen and executive produce the adaptation alongside Gail Ann Hurd, John Brown, and Bradley Yonover. McManus said he envisions the series as one that expands on the world of the novel while staying true to Vonnegut's tone and themes. And it would have to, because the book's only like 275 pages long. There are no lines that Vonnegut ever throws away, McManus said, but there are certain lines within the book that allude to a much larger world. I'm not talking about just going off in outer space. He alludes to the balkanization of the United States and to the hydrogen bombing of the United States. I feel like today's TV is the only way to tell this story. Why would anyone even attempt to adapt this story again? Well, here we are, Mr. Pilgrim, trapped in the amber of the moment. There is no why. Everything is nothing. With a twist.
Interesting news. One of the oldest and most complete skeletons of humankind's ancestor has been unveiled in South Africa. Finally, a team has spent more than 20 years excavating, cleaning, and putting together the skeleton of Littlefoot. Its exact age is debated, but South African scientists say the remains are 3.67 million years old. This would mean Littlefoot was alive about 500,000 years before Lucy, the famous skeleton of an ancient human relative found in Ethiopia. Both Littlefoot and Lucy belong to the same genus, Australopithecus, but they are different species. Scientists believe this shows humankind's ancestors were spread across a far wider area of Africa than had previously been thought. It also suggests there were a diverse number of species. Littlefoot was discovered in these caves northwest of South Africa's main city of Johannesburg. The research team has spent a very long time because the bones are very, very fragile, extremely soft, and they were buried in a natural concrete-like material. So that's kind of why it's been taking this long. The full skeleton of Littlefoot proves that she is more like us than an ape, with shorter arms and small hands. She probably slept in trees. Quite how she fits into our family tree is still a work in progress, but she's older than Lucy, which is a very famous but incomplete skeleton. And that means our ancient ancestors were almost certainly scattered across Africa. Now that they have confirmed Littlefoot, they will look nearby for Sarah, Ducky, Spike, and Chomper.
Nice. I was just going to say this was Sasquatch's younger sister.
Well, no one had to explain my joke, though.
Well played. Astronomers have discovered the oldest supermassive black hole ever found, the universe's biggest pothole that grew to 800 million times the mass of the sun when the universe was just 5% of its current age.
It was a tiny cutie little baby. Tiny.
This newfound giant black hole, which formed just 690 million years after the Big Bang, could one day help shed light on a number of cosmic mysteries, like how black holes could have reached gargantuan sizes quickly after the Big Bang, and how the universe got cleared of the murky fog that filled the entire cosmos. Explaining how black holes could have gobbled up enough matter to reach supermassive sizes early in cosmic history has proved extraordinarily challenging for scientists, and proving they exist to some silly people. As such, researchers want to look at as many supermassive black holes as possible, because they're freaks. The researchers detected and analyzed a quasar, ULS, and I'm not going to say the numbers, using one of the Magellan telescopes at Las Campanas Observatory in Chile, as well as the Large Binocular Telescope in Arizona. Only about 60 million years separate this newfound quasar from the previous record holder. Still, this span of time was about 10% of the age of the universe at those early cosmic epochs, when things were evolving rather rapidly. This means the difference in time could yield important clues about the evolution of the early universe. This, though, is simply proof the Doctor had an amazing adventure. Hopefully we get to see next season, and also the setup for a really smart Yo Mama joke. G.O.D. is licensed Creative Commons Distribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 96.3.0 license. You can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily. Stuff's going to be there. If stuff's not there, stuff will be there. There's stuff. Stuff happens, is what I'm saying to you. Did I mention stuff? I hope so. Drop a note, won't you please, when you get a second. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We're here for the full time next week, then there's a break, and we'll talk about it. But we're going to have some episodes of stuff coming out. That's the kind of thing we do. So you have a good one, and we will see you whenever we get to. That's the way we say it.
What do you think?
It stinks.
Game over, man. Game over.
Peace out, player.
Piss off. I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
No, Jesus was never married. Guy never had a wife, no. Because no wife would buy this story in 100 years. Good luck with this story. First boy leaves on Friday afternoon with 12 other guys. He's gone for 3 days. No message, no way to get in touch with her. He comes home Monday afternoon looking like he hasn't slept. It's a Sounds like he's partied out, man. And Mrs. Jesus is just waiting on. Well, I'm glad you can find your way home, Savior. Where's your 12 friends who won't get a job? How are they? Yeah, disciples, my ass. They're losers. Every one of them are using them. You're not any smarter than to know it. Anybody says, I believe, we put them up and feed them. I'm saying, where are they? Jesus is going, I don't need this shit. Not after what I went through this weekend. No, honey, I'll tell you right, man. Come here. First of all, not that it ruined your weekend any, but I was dead while you were sitting here on your ass. I'm in a grave outside of town. I'm fighting death, hell, decomposure. I'm about to come into spiritual form and go into the kingdom of God. I go, wait a second. I better go back because she doesn't know where I've been.